welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne, your host from Yachts Mermaids. And today I have Chef Angelo Brown as a special guest. Thank you, Angelo, for being here today and for saying yes to having a conversation with me and making a change in the industry.
You're welcome. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
So guys, I was speaking to Angela and she has a lot of interesting stories. She's been part of the industry for 12 years, which as we all know, is quite a lot in yachting. I've done 16 years myself. So I definitely know what it's like to be part of this industry for long years of time. And with that, obviously comes a lot of magic, but there's also a lot of challenges. And today we're going to talk about some of those challenges that Angela has had to face and what that has caused in her life and how we can potentially prevent them. And basically, we're going to start to normalize. We're going to continue to normalize what has been taboo in the industry, which is interesting because we have normalized all the, like we have normalized sexual harassment, for example. And we have taboo talking about it, which for me is what the F. And by the way, yeah, you can swear in this show. So what the fuck? Let's start by you sharing a little bit about maybe the last story that you have about what has happened to you, or maybe any story that you feel called to share with us today.
Instead of initially talking about a specific story, I would just say that in the 12 years I've been in this industry, more than 10 times I've been sexually harassed. I've been trapped on a vessel without being able to leave properly. There's a history of abuse that's not spoken about in our industry and what that abuse does to people. And it has been taboo to even speak about it to anyone, or how a lot of the situations that you find yourself in that's not related to your actual job that are causing mental health issues in men and women in our industry. And those mental health issues are not being addressed properly. And I think that's really why I want to speak about this, because it's not just me. I happen to feel like I have a voice. I've always been an advocate for civil rights, human rights, basic rights. I have a big loving heart for people. And I'm tired of seeing the same thing over and over again. And I'm tired of them expecting not only just my life, my mental health, my physical health, for a job that I really love and adore.
So can you tell us a little bit about what are those things that you have in the 12 years seen over and over happen again?
I really didn't want to lead with this, but I feel like it's important. I have found that most of the jobs, not all, but a majority of our industry, most captains are absolutely qualified to run a vessel, but not necessarily responsible or have the proper training to manage the lives of crew members. So if you're talking about a vessel that's 150 to 200 or even less, a captain's responsible not just for your physical safety, like making sure you don't drown, but like for your mental health. And if you have a person that's in a position of that kind of power and they don't have proper training, you have very serious issues within your crew. And what happens is, or what I've experienced, is oftentimes these captains become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. So if there's a problem that arises, instead of dealing with it appropriately, I'm going to fire this person and get rid of this issue and hide it. For example, in the previous boat, there was an issue with sexual harassment on that with the third stewardess. And where the captain asked her to come into his bedroom and to get into bed with him and said, "Don't worry, I'm not going to fuck you." And this just happened. And it's not unknown. If someone's listening to me, it's happened to them too. If you've been in this industry long enough, it's happened to you.
Yeah. Yes.
Almost every single woman in this industry that's been here longer than 5 years that's made it has been sexually harassed.
Yes. And I do want to say that's very important, because even I myself, it took me a while to accept the fact that it had actually happened to me, because I just brushed it off. I was like, oh no, because I didn't get raped or because I wasn't physically touched, it didn't happen. But it actually did happen. And it didn't happen just one time. It happened a few times in different vessel, different people, same dog, different color. And that's really important that if you're watching this, just look back at your career. And I bet you, you will find one time at least as a minimum where you have been sexually harassed or hopefully not assaulted.
Plenty of women who someone on their vessel gets drunk at a bar and makes the pass at them. And when that pass is not
welcome,
or welcome, they're fired. And then, and that happened. That's happened to almost every woman I'm still friends with that's in this industry that's been doing this for a long time. And not to say that you have to be doing this for a long time to have that happen, but it definitely happened to you. And to go back to the situation with this woman who was asked to crawl in the bed, there was alcohol involved. Clearly, I wasn't there for the situation, but it was witnessed. And what happened was the next day, the captain had come to me because I was in a position of rank and said, I need you to talk to her about taking direction. She's very argumentative and doesn't take authority. But I'm thinking, okay, I'll have a wait to an appropriate moment to speak to her. But I didn't know that this event happened. So I am now being pulled into a situation that's not appropriate. Now I am a part of the sexual harassment. I don't even know it. In the days to follow, this individual didn't want to be on the boat and she would go out drinking a lot. And I couldn't figure out what was happening. Ultimately, she quit based on some actions that she had done. And he promised her a really great recommendation. Right. He used these tactics. This is a very green stewardess who really should have been able to come to somebody and say, hey, this happened. But instead, our crew had to make sure that she wasn't alone in the cabin. We had to make sure we had to put her on different duty. That one moment just started creating this really bizarre tension on the boat. Wow, who are we? Who is this person? Who is this captain that we thought was a decent human? And then things would happen to me as well. I was told, Angela, you're really funny. You're talented. You're just like my wife. I'd fuck you. And your face is your heart beat to your stomach because thanks for the compliment, but you're my superior. And you must act like it. But I have no one to speak to about this. Okay? This was a private vessel. There's no designated person ashore. And the only person that was ashore was someone who was a longtime friend of this captain. Then you're thinking, okay, I want to call it yacht management company. I eventually called the yacht management company. And they were like, they're just words. They literally, it's all this stuff happens in industry all the time. Toughen up. I'm tired. I'm toughening up because what's happened over the years of me toughening up, most of these women and men have developed some sort of anxiety issue. There's such heavy drinking in our industry, and a lot of it comes from the environment on the vessel. Sorry, someone just like came into my backyard, so I got a little distracted. But the point is that there's an underlying issue of anxiety and mental health going on in our industry, and there's no resources for these people other than friends or people in the industry. And you really can't talk to your family or other people who are not in the industry so much because they would be, when I would speak to my family, they're horrified. Why would you go into this industry? Get out, go get a normal job. But I love this industry. I don't like the dark side of the industry. And I'm happy to be a part of talking about it because it needs to be normalized that we can speak about it without going, oh, that girl's going to be a problem because she's got to talk. Or there's this implied silence that we're supposed to keep because nobody wants the problem. And that's hurting women in our industry. I am a very strong woman. I have gotten through a lot of these, but there are plenty of women that I know could never make it because of the sexual harassment or the fear-based tactic that a lot of people in our industry use.
But it's interesting because as you're talking, oh my God, like so much is going through my brain. You're like, oh.
He's like remembering things that happened. Yeah.
It's true. One, the lack of support in the sense, especially on smaller private vessels, when you don't have a DPA, when you don't have even a yacht management, sometimes is not even involved with the boat because the captain is the manager. The captain is everything, right? And the lack of what you said, the lack of being informed and trained properly, which to be honest, yes, I do believe they should be trained. But the reality is that there should also be another support available because they're not meant to be everything in one. They're captains.
Not possible.
Exactly. And they do need the support. So as much as, of course, I believe captains do need to be informed, do need to be trained, do need to know trauma, you know, be trauma informed and all this, is also very important for them to realize, you know what, I do need support. And how can I hire extra outside support for my crew and for myself? And when you said about the yacht management rushing it off, it fucking pisses me off because it happens a lot of the time when these are the people that you're counting on, because you're like, okay, either the captain was a perpetrator or the captain didn't have the resources. Let me go find support with crew agencies, yacht management. And then they basically just kick you in the butt and say, figure it out, let it go, stuff it up.
There's that part. And like the main reason that I want to speak to you is somehow to figure out a human resources department for our yachting industry.
So as of now, there is... I'm sorry?
It's a big lofty dream to have something like this, but we need it.
Yes. So as of now, there is a Yacht Crew Help, which was organized by Ice One.
And that is who helped me. And I want people to know about them because they were the ones who, it took me a month to actually get someone to listen to me. And not just someone to listen to me, but someone who knew maritime law, who knew what actually infractions were happening and who would guide me through this. But it took me talking to all kinds of people. And 12 years into this industry, I didn't even know Yacht Crew Help existed. I want people to know.
It just started. Yeah. It didn't exist. Okay. It literally started about a year ago. Yeah. It existed as Ice One helpline. But the problem is that the yachting industry has had in forever is that we don't understand that we're seafarers. We're like yachties. We're not seafarers. I said, yes, you are. So there's all this support available for seafarers, but yachts don't, crew yacht never really. Sell themselves, exactly, because they never saw themselves as seafarers, so they didn't look at that option. So now they saw the gap. So now Ice One has created the Yacht Crew Help that thankfully they helped you. And of course, also for you, Lisa, I'm going to put a link for that below the video. And there's also the Yachts Mermaid Support Directory, where I have all the support that's available as of now that is live on actually working, different therapists, different people that are involved in the maritime industry. So you have a support directory there for free that you can go and look at and choose and pick who you feel that you resonate with. And there's a lot more on this behind the scenes happening that I will share at some point once everything's like in place. But there is a big movement and big changes are coming. That's all I got to say. So I'm quite excited.
I'm happy for that. And I'm so thankful for the movement that you started because it's desperately needed. The fact that I spent a month every single day trying to find resources and you get exhausted with telling your story and re-victimizing yourself over and over again. And then I finally find Yacht Crew Help through just emailing and talking to people and someone there. And bless his soul, finally was able to look at my contract and re-explain to the yacht management company who was at fault for a lot of things. But I had someone to say, no, what they're doing is wrong. And I know how to explain this. I'm going to write the email to them. But otherwise, I wouldn't have had anyone there.
And of course, there's also the like Natalia's, which is a, So if you're not part of that, they can help you, but they need, you need to be a member before something happens to you. So this is, if you're not a member yet, go check it out. You can get a discount through She of the Sea, through the crew coach, through, so I know there's not a lot of resources, but there's some and we need to take advantage of those.
I did find that Nautilus would not help me because I wasn't a member. And, but PYA was able to help me. I've since joined both of them because it's important. I'm not going to wait to, it's not going to stop. If I decide to stay in this industry, it's not going to stop tomorrow. All I can do is set stronger boundaries and be more, I guess, more selective of what boats I go on. But even, it's still going to happen. It's happening right now.
Which and I think is really interesting because I do believe in that, in having boundaries, in having, in knowing what's okay for us and what's not okay. And especially in the interviews, like really asking a lot of key questions that are going to help us understand if we're going to be potentially in a situation that we don't want to. But it's really interesting because you did tell me a little bit about the last thing that happened to you where you actually had the ability or not the ability, but the, what do I want to say? You were able, you were able to have some time with them before you even joined the vessel. And that gave you space to be like, oh, this could potentially be something.
It actually gave me false. I do a lot of freelance work, so I never know what I'm going to get. But I also know when I go in, they're going to pay me because they need my services and they're not going to mess with me because otherwise I'm going to leave. And I get the job done and then I leave. That's the protective side. Obviously, we hope to have a really good time, whatever. When you join a vessel full time, there's different element. And so I'm very careful. So yeah, I did feel like I got to know the crew and I got to know the captain very well. And I, but under different circumstances in other countries, it's really fascinating how things can change very quickly. And things went really bad. And just, I want to share a topic that how this affected my life. Like just one thing that happened where the captain got really drunk on the vessel and pulled his pants down. And it's disgusting, but it's like, all right, you're my superior. I don't care what you do in your off time. You're literally on the owner's vessel with your pants down. And he was interviewing women while he was drunk for a position as chief stew. And one of the women that he was interviewing was actually in my crew house. And she was absolutely wonderful, lovely human being. And I overheard him after the conversation with her saying, we'll just have to see what color her bush is. Like talking. And so I secretly phoned her and I said, I'm sorry. Do not. I'm not bringing you into a predatory situation. And the fact that I had to do it hush hush, because I was, if I brought this up to, I had, first of all, I had no one to bring it up to. The yacht management company really wasn't a yacht management company. It is, but based on the services they were providing to this vessel, they really were more of accounting. And I didn't have anyone. So I actually started to feel scared of who is this person? And our, the girl cried because she's been in the industry for 8 years and it's just disgusting.
Thankfully, she had you.
Yeah,
that actually say, fuck this, I'm stepping in. She's not coming on board. This is not a good thing for her. And obviously, I'm assuming this kind of set the tone if it had, if the tone hasn't been set before. What did you, were you like, okay, I need to leave? Were you?
On their day, I was like, I want to leave. But I had, the previous chief stew had just been fired and she didn't have her enough suitcases. So I gave her my suitcase. So I didn't have anything to pack my belongings in. So I said, okay, I'm just going to give it some space. We're only in St. Martin for another month. I can do anything. I can just keep my distance. I mean, it just started getting worse. Like, he was telling me I was just like his wife. I cooked like his wife. Then he would tell me that he he and his wife slept in separate beds. And I'm like, I wanted desperately to talk to someone like, hey, someone needs to speak to this person and let him know that this is inappropriate. Because if I'm in a bar and you say that to me, I can walk away. You're my superior. So if I don't do what you want me to do or react in the way that you want, you're going to punish me, which is ultimately where it led to and why I left. But not before I had a nervous breakdown, basically. So I just want women out there and men to know what their rights are, because we're not told. You go get your SPW. There's no mention of, hey, by the way, if you're ever in a situation, X, Y, and Z, this is who you can call, this is what you can do, and these are what your rights are. For example, the girl who, the third stewardess, he didn't pay for her flight home. We're a Cayman flag vessel. This person has no idea that what he's done is illegal because she's green. And when we found out, we're like, well, that's illegal. But she's afraid to say anything because, oh, but she needs this recommendation, this reference. And that
Which,
scenario,
by the way, you don't need his reference.
You don't need
he
it.
He is the perpetrator.
What I wanted to tell her was like, listen, I'm telling you, you've just been sexually harassed and you don't realize like what he's done. And then he tried to make me a part of it. And then he won't pay for your flight home. So here's this young girl that's around St. Martin who should not be on St. Martin by herself. And people just need to know what their rights are as a sleeper, because that when you take your SCCW, okay, you learn to fight a fire. The likelihood of you being sexually harassed is 1,000 times higher than a fire. And there's no mention of what could happen. When I'm talking about sexual harassment right now, but it's not just that. There's bullying for the men. On the same vessel, people were fired for no reason other than the captain was like paranoid about them telling the owners about exactly who they were. So you just fire them. It was okay, get rid of this problem, get rid of this problem. And it was just every day was the cover up. And you're in this environment, I don't know what to do. So you're watching him, the captain, make these decisions. So you're like, what's going to happen to me if I don't play nice? Whereas I shouldn't have to play nice. You are. And what's happened to me in the past is I don't play nice. I check my bags and I fucking leave. But I shouldn't have to do that. I should have something higher to say this is happening.
I totally agree. The thing is, like, this industry, especially smaller boats, it's private, right? So there's such a gray line because really there's no legally. It's just a gray area in so many ways.
Okay. And but you're here.
You did say that is super important to educate yourself. And I do truly believe that is one of the keys that you as a crew member, whether you're a senior crew member, a young junior crew member, it doesn't matter. It is also your responsibility, like you said, to know your rights, to know what the flag states says, to know what happens when you're in the port that you're in, because legal things changes depending on where you're also at. So right. I know it gets a little bit confusing. I done a lot of research myself, and that's why I added that into one of my services in the Yachts Mermaid, where I give you the main flag state legal things about it. But let's say, for example, if you're South African in America under Cayman, that's different than if I'm American on a Cayman in America. So I know it gets a little bit tricky.
If I'm on a Cayman and I'm in St. Martin, then it changes.
It changes, but it's not inaccessible, this information. You just need to do a little bit of research and it's there. Right. And like I said, if you don't want to do the research, then maybe join something like PYA, Natalius, and then ask them to give you this information. But don't wait until something bad happens to you. If you can actually prevent this, if you can educate yourself prior. For example, if you're a woman and you get pregnant, you have rights. You have rights.
No, but there's something that's going on with somebody that I know right now, and it's mortifying. But forget sexual harassment. There's a woman who is a second due, and she's in Panama right now. She had something going on with her body, and something was wrong with her stomach. She couldn't figure it out, and she told the captain that she needed to go see a doctor. The doctor, she thought what was happening to her was something to do with cancer or colon cancer, but it turned out that she was really okay. She had a hernia from lifting things, and the captain sent all of her medical, her private medical information, like when is her menstrual cycle, what that she has, what conditions. He sent it to the entire crew. So now the entire crew has all of her medical information for what reason? So that's a violation of in the United States, it's a violation of HIPAA, which is your health information protection. But she's in Panama with a captain that's from Croatia. It's still violating. She still feels like this is just even something that small is still traumatizing to someone very young.
So talking about trauma, let's talk about what happens after, because you have experienced PTSD from what has happened to you, not only just recently.
Yeah. The things that happened to me initially in the industry are way worse than anything that's just happened to me recently, because I've gotten smarter. I've had stronger boundaries. I won't take specific jobs on small vessels. I won't take jobs with captains under a certain age. All these things you don't think about when you're new to the industry. And I've been physically assaulted on a vessel and tried to, this was about 8 years ago. And this was a 150-foot boat. And I was physically assaulted. I had to call the Coast Guard to get off the vessel. He would not let me off because he didn't want the owners to know what was happening. And like that happened in this past decade. And I was so traumatized from that. And at that time, I really had no idea. I didn't want to tell my family because they don't understand my industry. They do now. But in the beginning, I didn't know who to tell. I felt shameful, even though it wasn't my fault. But there's multiple instances throughout the years. It doesn't matter. Like even this past year with, I would say a handful of times something has happened, whether it was a sexual harassment or physical or just not being paid, or there's all kinds of weird shit that happened. And then where do you go to? You just go, most people will tell you, just get over it. There's plenty of boats out there. Get over it. Get over it. I'm tired of getting over it because it has caused me to have an anxiety issue that I'm dealing with. And because every job that I'm going to now, I'm like, are they going to sexually harass me? Are they going to do this? Is this happening like this? Is he married? Is he young? Is he old? Is he this? Is he stable? I'm looking at these situations in a different, from my experience now. It's sad that I have to do that, like size people up and be like, are they going to be a predator? Or is this vessel going to pay me? If I do, but the issue is, there's not a single woman that I know personally in this industry that doesn't have some sort of anxiety. And you can't talk about it. Because if you talk about it, then you won't get a job.
It's interesting because even on the TV show, The Below Deck, that people talk about shit about it. But it's interesting because even on the show, they showcase this anxiety to the point where you have panic attacks.
Like with a girl who was having panic attack and she was in another country where she could get access to Xanax, which I don't condone, but whatever. If you're in an emergency situation, maybe you do that. And then they immediately fire her.
Yeah.
But really, let's talk about the issue that cultured it.
Exactly.
To that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or recently, that show, don't get me started.
No, but it's interesting. It's interesting to
talking the culture that we live in. It's not okay. Yes,
exactly. I know that we're under a big pressure. The job itself is a lot of pressure. The environment that we live in, small cabins, different cultures, you name it. everything is pretty much there to potentially take you the other way. But on top of that, but on top of that, the fact that all these little things or big things happen, right? Sexual assault, work harassment, sexual harassment, like whatever, bullying, whatever it is, you name it. All these things, we don't take in consideration how all these little things that we basically, at some point or another, we said, oh, I just need to get over it. I just need to get over it. Like, I'm moving on. You actually are not. You're just suppressing them. And this is actually causing you this anxiety and mental health issues. And this is something that people are not really, that we need to normalize talking about, because these are part of the creation of what you're experiencing today in your emotional well-being state. It's not just because you're working 18 hours and you don't get to go home. And obviously that helps, but there's a lot of other things that are there. Are on the background. So how have you been dealing with the post-traumatic stresses that all these things have cost you?
It's difficult. I see there's counseling through PYA, which is helpful. I'm seeing a therapist, learning to reset my boundaries again, and that, and know that they're okay. Not just okay, but they're necessary. Because that happened. Your boundaries start getting stripped away when you're in a situation like this. I've considered multiple times of leaving the industry. Which is really heartbreaking for me because I love what I do. So I've taken time in the past just to go work in a state, just to work directly for the owners, live in the home and work. And I'm like, I love cooking. I don't have to deal with all of this crap. There's no, I'm on land. I have rights. I'm American. What about the people who are not? The fact that I have such a hard time, what about the women who have no rights? Like, literally, if you're a foreign person and this happens to you, they're just send you right back home. It's hard talking to people, talking to you, talking to therapists to know that these things are not okay. And talking to people outside of the industry, because we forget, we also normalize it because it happens every day. We normalize it so everything doesn't just trigger us all day long. So learning to not normalize that anymore. I don't care what planet you're on. This is not okay. And looking at situations, okay, yeah, this happened on the boat, but imagine if it happened on land. Okay, that's not okay. If someone could go to jail if it happened on land, and it's normalized in the yachting industry, we have a problem. And so I don't know. That's kind of a long-winded answer to how I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it whatever way I can.
I do want to say that they just recently, I don't know if it has passed or is about to pass, but there's a bill in court to help sexual assault and harassment in the maritime industry, because the fact that we're talking about it has created enough momentum to be like, hey, this is not okay. And this needs to change from the top.
I want to also bring up something, and I don't want it to deter any woman who has been sexually assaulted or raped, God forbid. But what happens is there are a lot of really great maritime lawyers in Florida. And the problem is when you call them, unless you have something seriously juicy, like I was raped, 5 people saw it, it's on camera, which is likely never to happen, right? They won't take your case. They look at you like a dollar sign, which I get it, but there should be legal recourse for women, because I've tried to help someone who was raped on the boat, and Les, we called many lawyers, and they're like, basically, it's going to take so long, it's going to be so damaging to you, you probably won't get that much money, and then you have to keep your mouth shut and move along again. And that's happened to people.
Yes, and this is why I'm so excited about the project that I have on behind the scenes, because this is going to this is going to change that. This is going to change that big time. And I do want to say that with the law, if there's no evidence, there's no case. So this is why it's so important that if you are in a situation where you can actually do get evidence, if you know you're with a perpetrator that has already sexually, maybe verbally abused you, it's going to happen again.
Right.
Try to record that the next time. You need evidence. Obviously, ideally, you're going to get out of it and you're not going to allow it to happen again. But if you're in a place where you do want to build a case, in a place where you do want to do that, you do have to take evidence, because if you don't have evidence, there's no, legally, there's no case. Or as long as maybe somebody witnesses, and hopefully that witness is wants to speak, recording what happens to you, like just writing down the things that happen.
To change in the way that there are loads of people who witness things on vessels every single day that are not okay. And secretly, those people want to speak up. But they won't, because they'll get fired. Or there's the stigma, if you speak up, you're going to have, like, people have this fear that they will be blackballed from the industry, or they won't find a note. I know, but it's because that's how people control a lot of people in our industry, is by fear. And not just fucking real. And for people to realize it's not real. You don't need that reference. Show them how you can work. You don't need, especially if it's coming from someone who's a predator. And I tried to tell the other girl that, I said, this reference isn't going to mean anything, because it's going to catch up. And yeah, he did get fired. And no, the reference doesn't mean shit now. But I just want people to have an understanding that it's not just me out there behind you and standing up for you. There's a lot of it. And
it's important to understand that as a bystander, you play a huge role in a victim's survivor's story. Because if I was sexually harassed or assaulted, and you are the first person that I talk to, or you see it, and you either brush it off, or you basically tell me like, oh, don't worry, this happens all the time. Like, he's yachting, he's just yachting, because I hear this all the time.
What you tell
the person can completely change their view on what happened to them and basically normalize what's not okay. Right. So for example, like when one of the things that happened to me, I came to the galley and most of the crew was there. And when I told them what happened to me, because I was in shock, and they basically all started laughing. And I thought, oh, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe I'm just like making this big when it's not.
Right.
But it was a fucking big deal. And because the bystanders ended up acting as if I was the one making it a big deal, that shifted how I saw that, until years after that I was like, heck the fuck, I was sexually harassed. And these motherfuckers laughed it off.
Right.
And made me feel ashamed for speaking up about what happened. And saying that I didn't feel comfortable with what just happened, right? So it's very important that if you're a bystander, think about your morals. Think about what you actually, if you are on the other side of the story, what would you want somebody else to do? How do you want to be supported? If you don't want to talk, if you don't feel like you have the tools to support that person, then get them help. Be like, hey, here's the number for you to ask for help. Let me get in contact with whoever, like Yats Mermaids, Karine from the Crew Coach, whoever, PYA, Natalius. There's ways. Actually, I'm going to, below the video, there's also going to be a link for you to print a support directory that you can put in the crew board. And whoever needs help, the numbers are there. Like, we need to start giving options to people.
Right.
Giving them resources in a way that is not invasive, but is more of an invitation, right? If it's there on the crew board, you can silently go and look it up. And then do whatever you need. But it's very important, like what you say, like the bystanders play a huge role on the other person's story. And you really have to be, because what happens is like, as a bystander, they feel uncomfortable. And they feel so uncomfortable with what happened to you that they just act in different ways that are not supported. And it's understandable because they're not being trained. But at the same time, don't you have morals? Like, where does that Where does your moral compass start? And you also have to be like, I'm a human.
I know that changed people. You know, I've seen it happen. Like, people come into the industry and maybe they had different morals, but now this world new yachting world that they've entered, it's somehow reshaping their morals because all these things are now okay. They weren't okay in your normal life, but in this industry, this culture, it's okay, but it's not okay.
Exactly. And this is what we're doing right now. We're like making you understand, hey, you need to come back to your truth.
Right.
What you have normalized is not okay. What you have normalized is not okay. Whether you're at sea or on land or out of space is not okay. These are human rights. Seafarer rights are human rights. Period.
That's where I started to know there first a little bit about me before yachting. I was an art teacher. Different life. But yachting over the years had turned me into this hardened person where I didn't really have feelings. Or I wasn't in touch with my, because the things were just happening like unbelievably all the time. And I'm like very competitive person with myself. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep going and I'm going to keep going. And then until one day I'm realized.
You're basically in survivor mode.
Yeah. And I start to realize like I've been in survival mode that has damaged my ability to be in touch with my own moral compass. And so that's when I stopped. I said, I'm not taking this job. If I get a weird vibe, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I don't want this industry to change me to a bad person. And I've seen it happen for many people. But that's the part of me like redirecting it. Like, I don't care who I have to talk to. This stuff has to stop.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Getting support is super important. Not after something happens to you, but while you're in the industry. Because it really helps you make sure that you're in alignment, that you're making the right decisions, that something does happen to you, you know, what to do. So yeah, so support is super important to end the conversation. Not that I want to, but we have to.
Okay.
What's your advice to those who may be in a situation similar to yours?
Call you, call PYA. Immediately, I would say, every crew member should become a member of PYA or Nautilus and to inform yourself of your rights. And with those, learn that you can set boundaries and it's okay. And if you lose a job because of setting boundaries, then you just prevented yourself from further trauma. And it's okay. There are jobs. But I would most definitely say to know your rights and know that seek out the resources that are there, because if it's not happening to you, I guarantee you it's going to happen to somebody you know or somebody that's on your boat or somebody that's on the boat that's next to you. It happens that much. Again, to restate it again, know your resources and know your rights. And know that there are people out there. Join the. There's a lot of underground groups on WhatsApp also of only students. Only chef or females in this industry, find them. Know that there's a sisterhood all around and not just the sisterhood. There are amazing crew members out there who will support you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Angela, for taking the time to share your story, your wisdom, your knowledge. Yeah, it's really needed. And yeah, I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know that the community also thanks you. So
thank you. Thanks, Mary.
All right, guys, down below, you'll have all the resources that we talked about in the show. And like Angela said, it is your duty to educate yourself, to know your rights, to know the resources so that potentially you can prevent this. And if it has happened to you, you know how to handle it. All right, until next time, I'm Marien from Yasmin Race, and this is Uncensored.